You're listening to a Get Serial podcast.
Sin Media acknowledges and pays respects to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands the Sin office and studios stand. We respectfully acknowledge their ancestors and elders, past, present and emerging. We extend this respect to the traditional custodians of the lands and waters where Sin content is produced, where Sin content reaches, and on which Sin partner organizations stand. Sovereignty has never been ceded, and no treaty has ever been signed. Always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Get Serial on Sin. It is our Friday morning. It is the 1st of March. And Adam, what would you say? I think it's a bit of a chilly morning, but it's definitely looking like one that's going to heat up pretty quickly.
It is. I think it's a good morning. I'm excited because, first of all, pinch and a punch for the first of the month. I've just done that to everyone who's listening. No returns. But look, we've had a leap day yesterday, and I think a leap day, it's always exciting.
It's been a while.
It has. It's been 4 years, you could say. So I'm excited to leap into March and really get into it. Yeah, it's going to be a good one, I can tell.
No, I am as well. And look, we have some really exciting stuff today. Just let's give a bit of a teaser as to some of the stuff we're going to talk about a little bit later on. So in this hour, you'll have to stick around for the next hour because we have some even more exciting stuff happening then.
Ooh.
Maybe even a little bit of an interview?
Maybe even a guest performance.
Ooh. You'll have to stick around though.
This time it's not me just singing into the mic. I'm sorry to let you down. That has happened once before.
And it probably will happen again.
Don't turn off the radio though. I promise it's not today.
But we will be touching on the Friday news. We have a bunch of stuff for you there. We then are going to dive into talking about the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow. Oh boy.
I'm so excited to talk about this. This is one that our mind just melded on because we did not discuss this with each other. I was thinking about it all this morning. I'm ready to talk about it.
Well, something that I thought we could also talk about a little bit later on is the interesting comments from the Kellogg's CEO in a very Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake, let them eat cereal moment. We'll have to stick around for that though. And in the first hour this time, we have our Am I the Bad Guy? So stick around for that one. I chose this one and I think it's a pretty good one. So you'll have to stick around for that. But if you want to stick around and keep up to date with anything Get Serial, you can do so on Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can also do so at Get Serial Sin on TikTok. We are posting there now. It's far and few between, but we are posting there.
We told you we'd do it, and look, we did.
Exactly. Yeah. Believe in us. We also are going to be posting all of our previous episodes and interviews on our podcast platforms, which are OmniFM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and legitimately anywhere else where good podcasts can be found. So check that out, Get Serial Sin. But we have a whole bunch to get into, so we're going to kind of move straight into it. But before we do have some helplines available if you or someone you know may need them.
Definitely. So we do talk about heavy topics occasionally on this show. So if anything brings up any topics you'd like to discuss or just in your day-to-day you'd like to have a conversation, you can reach out to Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636. The Kids Helpline is available at 1800 55 1800. And you can reach out to the QLife Helpline by calling them at 1800 184 527.
Definitely check them out if you need them. But we're going to go into our first song, and it's from a very small Australian artist who, if you're not listening to, you definitely should. Annabelle, you know more about this artist than I do.
Definitely. I'm really excited about this one. The song is called Release by Paige Forster. She is a country folk songwriter. She also calls herself a nature sprite, which I love, who is based in Perth. And I like Paige because, well, one, she makes incredible music, But also, we discovered her because she followed us at Get Serial Sin on Instagram. A little bit of a plug there. And it's really fun discovering new songwriters and new musicians just through the follows. So thanks, Paige, for checking us out on Instagram. And thank you for this song.
Thank you. Here is Release.
By Paige Forster.
Paige Forster, yes.
Got too excited there.
Genuinely love that song. That was the ever so wonderful Heartbreak Warfare by John Mayer. And before that was the other wonderful song we played, Release by Paige Forster. Two great songs. Check out Paige Forster. We have been loving that song, and we've been loving everything about what we can see about her. Might be worth getting them in for an interview at some point. What do you think, Annabelle?
I think it'd be lovely. I feel like Paige is doing some very cool stuff. I would like to learn more about it.
Definitely. If you're listening, Paige.
If you're listening, we love you.
But something we do love is our Friday morning news. We have had I don't want to say an overly busy week, but we have had a week with some interesting things here and there. I'm going to start with something that I forgot to put on the actual run sheet.
Ooh, mystery news.
The Matildas, so our female soccer team, won their recent game at the MCG, I believe it was. I could be wrong about that. I'll have to double check that one. And they are on their way to Paris for the Olympics. And it is worth mentioning, if you don't follow it, or if you, maybe you're just like me and you're like, soccer, ill, don't really care, the Matildas are really good. They are maybe the best team in the world. Go support them. They rock. And what they continue to do for especially women's sports is incredible. Go support them. Go watch the games. If nothing else, a penalty shootout is really easy to get into and really fun to watch. So check it out. Enjoy it. Support the girls. But with that, we have our first news story, first real news story, I guess. Annabelle?
We do. So the first person has been jailed under Australian foreign interference laws. The first person found guilty under Australian foreign interference laws will spend at least 12 months behind bars. Victorian businessman Di Sang Dong, aged 68, was the first person to be charged under federal laws created in 2018, which banned covert foreign interference in domestic politics, which, by the way, you'd think would have been banned a lot earlier than 2018, but
you'd definitely think so.
But there has been
a little bit of a panic. True. In the media in the last maybe 3-4 years?
Definitely. He faced a month-long trial in the county court at the end of 2023, where he was found guilty by a jury of preparing for or planning an act of foreign interference on behalf of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party.
Definitely. Moving on to somewhat similar news, actually.
Very much in line with that.
Yeah, a former Australian politician was caught working with foreign spies. The Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, or ASIO, has revealed that a former Australian politician worked with foreign spy groups after being recruited by an overseas agency. So ASIO, ASO Director General Mike Burgess, that's a lot of words, said that the politician who has not been identified sold out their country, party, and former colleagues by agreeing to share the knowledge from inside Parliament for payment.
I know it's a very serious case, but I do like the idea that the foreign spy group is just Nancy Drew and she's just trying to solve another mystery. But, you know, in another world.
Well, maybe the next mystery is what 7-Eleven is doing right now.
That is a mystery every day. 7-Eleven is a mysterious beast to me. But 7-Eleven has announced a change in their fuel lock policy amid the cost of living crisis. So thousands of motorists have expressed disappointment after discovering a key change in a popular fuel-saving app. 7-Eleven notified customers earlier last month that it would be restricting savings to 25 cents per litre on their fuel lock app, which caused a stir among users. Customers can use the app to search and lock in the cheapest price at the closest 7-Eleven stores to their location. Once this price is locked in, the users can redeem the price at any 7-Eleven fuel store in Australia for the next week. And I don't think it's a great look right now to be like, hey, you know how life's expensive? You can't save as much now. Just so you know, we figured we'd like make it harder.
It is worth mentioning as well, it isn't mentioned here because I forgot to write it down. They are actually planning on making it that how long you can actually lock the fuel price for is going to be a shorter amount of time. Mm. It used to be, I believe, a month. It is being planned to be brought down to roughly a week.
That's a big change.
It definitely is. And given how up and down fuel prices can be, especially around public holidays, it can be a bit of a nightmare. So, you know, if you're using 7-Eleven's fuel lock app, just be aware of that. But moving on from that, six men have been charged in Victoria over a $15 million illicit tobacco importation scheme. Six men have been charged today, yesterday even, over allegedly trying to import 10 million illicit cigarettes into Victoria worth about $15 million. All accused are from Melbourne, and some have alleged links to a suspected Middle Eastern crime family, according to police. They were arrested after a 16-month investigation by the Australian Federal Police, Victoria Police, and the Australian Border Force.
And keeping in line with kind of smoking, the government has actually hired influencers to spread awareness about the dangers of vaping. So, working with popular faces from athletes, comedians, and gamers, the government is hoping to influence teenagers to put the vape down by hiring who else but influencers, to kind of spread the message for them. So this comes amid a rise in pro-vaping content online, with the 2023 Cancer Council study actually finding 18,000 Instagram influencer, quote-unquote, profiles that were solely dedicated to pro-vaping content. So the government is trying to kind of combat this, getting popular faces to speak out, and you will be surprised to learn not much opposition to this one, although politicians are saying they just need to make sure they choose their words correctly. But I think it's good.
No, totally. It's good to look, if you are vaping, just be aware that vaping is arguably worse than tobacco in many ways. It is not as good for you as it was originally advertised in like 2018. So just be aware of that.
There's a lot we don't know about it.
And exactly.
My public service announcement, just because it smells like strawberry doesn't mean you should blow it in people's faces. I think people forget that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely be nice to people. If it's been in your mouth, it does not go on someone else.
Kindergarten rules on Get Cereal Today.
Moving on to something that is not kindergarten. In fact, it's much older than kindergarten. A once extinct reptile has forced developers to reconsider housing plans. So a reptile that was thought to be extinct for 50 years is holding up development of thousands of homes in Melbourne's west, with fears that its habitat could affect plans down the Bellarine Peninsula. The Victorian grassland earless dragon was supposed to be extinct, but Melbourne Zoo found some in the wild late last year. The discovery is forcing the state and developers to reconsider plans to build more houses and a job precinct near Bacchus Marsh. Now, I'm all for saving this little lizard. I love him. He's so cute.
He's great. I love that he's not extinct. Or she, or they. I love that they're not extinct. Oh, that's a nice little win for the day.
This is a win. Just move the houses elsewhere. Bring him down like a couple blocks over there. It won't matter.
I think it's great. I also think if you're a housing developer, you probably think about all the things that could slow your project down. You don't go, what if an earless dragon suddenly shows up? Yeah, an extinct... extinct words are hard as usual. Extinct lizard just shows up. That's great.
You never know.
Great news for the earless dragon community, I'll say that. And we have got a little bit more news to get through. We've got another Captain Cook statue that's had its base sawn off in Melbourne. So Victorian police are investigating criminal damage after a Captain Cook statue in Fitzroy Garden was sawn off at the ankles. They believe that a group of four unknown offenders attended the garden in Wellington Parade. Attended the garden in Wellington Parade between 5 p.m. on Sunday and 7 a.m. yesterday. The statue was vandalised and toppled to the ground before footage of the incident was published online with the message, "The colony will fall."
Moving on from that, thousands of car parks at Melbourne Airport are to be unusable until late 2026. So thousands of car parks at Melbourne Airport will be out of use for the next 2 years as major road projects are undertaken at the site. The work to upgrade the road in front of the airport will begin next month and will not be completed until late 2026. The beginning of construction comes as airport management continues to push for a rail line to be connected to the airport after years of discussion with the Victorian government. I think it's a good idea.
I think so too. And look, if you're at the airport, you're probably sending people off and you're probably giving them the best of your love. Well, this is Skeleton, a Sydney-based artist, giving you the best of my love. Enjoy.
You just heard two incredible songs. They were, Annabelle?
Microdose by, I believe it is, Total Tommy. And before that, you had a song which needs no introduction, but we'll have one anyway. Best of My Love by Skeleton. They're both off our Sunday Sweet 16 playlist. So if you like those songs, you want to hear more incredible musicians, check out the Sunday Sweet show at 5 p.m.
5 p.m. on Sunday.
Beautiful.
Now, I just want to put a little bit of a, maybe a band-aid on something I've been doing. So the Sunday Sweet show has not been running this year until next week. So check that one out. They have a new EP. They're really excited to get in. And I know that they will do incredibly. So check them out 5 p.m. on Sunday and give them all your love. Give them the best of my love. Throwing back to that other song. We're going to move on to something that deserves no love.
No, I think that's fair. Normally I'd say that's a very harsh comment. In this case, look, we had Microdose by Total Tommy, and you don't even get a microdose of Willy Wonka at the Willy Wonka event that's gone wrong in Glasgow. It is a very poor imitation.
It really is. So for people who don't know, there was an event that was held in Glasgow. It was designed, it was advertised as a quote-unquote immersive Willy Wonka experience for kids. And the art they had for it was all this bright, colourful, really poorly made AI art, which is already, you know, sending off red flags in my head. And when people showed up for pretty steep ticket prices, so guests paid roughly £35, which in Australian money is $67 per ticket. And that's not kids going for free, by the way. They were met by pretty much an empty warehouse with a couple props in it.
It looks a little bit like a cafeteria.
It
like
really does.
A sad school cafeteria.
Well, have you ever been on like a set for a movie?
I don't want to brag, but I actually have. I'm pretty cool.
It gave me that vibes. It gave me the, this is the part of the film we have to film on like on location. Here's all the props. Here's the cafeteria. It's all separate. It does not look good. That's what it gave me the vibe of.
It's so bad. Did you hear about what everyone received when they arrived?
Ooh, do tell.
This is my favourite part. So, again, as Bianca said, people paid around 68 Australian dollars for this. And they were, you know, delighted to find out that this got them an incredible prize of 2 jelly beans and a cup of lemonade.
So, originally, it was meant to be 1 jelly bean
the
per
good
child. But the wonderful woman, who I forgot the name of, I don't have it written down because her story only really came out this morning. She mentioned that she decided to be really nice to the kids and hand them 3 instead until they ran out, and she had to start, I guess, rationing out the jelly beans in really cheap ways, which is kind of poor. But like one of the things that's worth mentioning is all the actors here,
they were trying their
unhappy
best.
They are very unhappy with it. Apparently they didn't get paid well, but they got paid. That's the reason they did it. But I think the scariest part is it wasn't even the initial like script for it. So the script was 15 pages of AI-generated gibberish, right? There was a made-up villain called The Unknown, which is just a man in a silver mask in a black trench coat that came out from behind a mirror. And he is an evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls.
That's a good thing to send children home with. Like, that's a good visual. Hey, you know your walls? There's an evil chocolate maker.
There is
maker.
A video of one of the poor actors introducing this guy. There's also another poor actor trying to make this work. And there's a kid who immediately gets scared and is not happy with the whole situation. And it's almost, I feel like it's a really good explanation for the entire event is kids were not happy, adults were not happy, actors were not happy. And I don't think the original designers of the event are happy anymore because they've had to refund everyone. Although it is worth mentioning that the website is still up and you can still book to go there.
It's such a bad. It's none of it went well. I will say I do feel really bad for the actors because, look, the actors were trying their best. It sounds like there's a quote here, but I don't think I can read because the actor had very strong feelings that came out in their choice of words. But they described how they basically, if you have a bowl of something very disappointing, they were trying to put sprinkles on top of it and they were trying their very best to get anything good out of the script they had. And they were not happy about it. So I do feel bad for them because they also were probably the ones who faced most of the criticism when you're at the event. If you're an upset parent, you've paid, say, $136 for you and a kid to go.
If you've retail or hospitality, you know what the front of house staff will get. Can you imagine that?
Oh, I feel so bad for them. Also, be nice. Be nice to everyone, but also be nice to your retail and your actors and your hospo friends and non-friends. They're trying their best.
Also, be careful with events, especially if they're held in a warehouse that you've never heard of, and all of their art is AI-generated.
I will say, when you say it that way, it's basically come to a warehouse and get candy from a man in a mask who lives in your walls. It doesn't sound as appealing.
Sign me up. Well, look, I don't know if the kids are the right age for that. I might argue that they are too young for that. Here is our next song, Too Young for That, by Emma Ogier. It is a wonderful song. I enjoy listening to this one, doing some research. You are listening to Get Serial on Sin.
That was Brenda and Diane by Young Jesus. And before that, you had Too Young for That by Emma Ogier, who's been described as kind of Phoebe Bridges-esque. I'm really excited to have kind of discovered her content. I think she's doing her own thing. You know, and I mean, I do love Phoebe Bridges, so I am a good target market, if true.
I like a bit of Phoebe too. I don't know if I agree with that description based on what I've heard so far. I would argue maybe Phoebe Bridges, but a bit more country-esque, which I think works perfectly.
I'm pro that. I feel like we're kind of coming back to country this year. You know how like trends are cyclical and it's like Crocs, right? Crocs were cool once upon a time and then they were horrible and then they're cool again. Country is everywhere right now. I don't know if you've noticed that.
It totally helps that one of the biggest music artists ever recently released a country song, and it annoyed the country genre that it blasted up to number one, and it's the first number one we've seen from the country genre in a while.
I will say that was Beyonce, by the way,
if you
have been living under a rock. But you know what? I think that the country genre should just be happy that people are experimenting and trying new things and let people enjoy things.
No, totally.
Let's not gatekeep. But anyway, talking about things that we should be enjoying, Get Serial. As always, you can find us on TikTok and on Instagram. But look, if you're like, wow, I love listening to Get Serial, where can I get serial in my life apart from on radio? According to the Kellogg CEO, if you are, quote unquote, a poor family, he didn't say that, I should clarify, you should consider cereal for dinner. So in an interview with CNBC last week, WK Kellogg chief executive Gary Pilnick said that the company was advertising cereal for dinner to consumers looking for more affordable options. Give chicken the night off, the ad's cheery tagline reads. The cereal category, according to Pilnick, has always been quite affordable. Which, by the way, from personal experience, why is cereal so expensive? I don't think it's that affordable for what it is.
It's not as affordable as I think he thinks it is.
It's very affordable when you're on a chief executive salary, I would say.
A lot of things are very affordable on that salary.
That's true. You know, you make a good point. But as Pilnick goes on to say, cereal tends to be a great destination. I love the idea. It's a destination. When consumers are under pressure. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable. That is a statement that can apply to anything.
If... I was going to say, like, I'm in the middle of, like, looking at different recipes and everything like that. Where's the pasta industry being like, hey, pasta's always been dirt cheap. You could do pasta for everything.
Well, that's the thing. Also, you could say, if you think about the cost of a Mercedes for a family versus what they might otherwise do, if what they're otherwise going to do is fly to the moon, yeah, a Mercedes is pretty cheap. Like, that's a very
broad statement. It's such a weird thing. And, like, don't get me wrong, I think all of us have had maybe, like, a late-night bowl of cereal.
It's a ritual. Everyone has to go through it.
Slaps. It's a very good hangover food. But, like, check it out. Like, only then. Don't replace a whole meal with cereal because you can't afford it, because you can afford a very cheap dinner.
I will also say two other things. First of all, look, obviously I am pro-cereal. We are on Get Cereal. But it's not the most nutritional food if you're having it for breakfast and dinner, as Gary would suggest you do. I think Gary would also suggest you have it for lunch and every other meal and just only eat brown coloured foods, according to him. And I don't want to go too into this man. Maybe he fumbled, you know. I will say I would like to ask him, how much does he think a box of cereal is? And I'd like him to do the game where rich people have to guess what things cost. Because I have a feeling he wouldn't know.
I love watching that.
It is great. That was a good thing about The Ellen Show. I will say, I know there's been some bad things coming out. I like seeing rich people guess the cost of things.
It is good. I will say this. There are really cheap alternatives to some of the more expensive dinners. Pasta, as I mentioned, is always going to be a very, very cheap meal, whether you make it yourself or buy a store-bought string of spaghetti. They're always pretty cheap. And, like, after that, you just go out and buy a thing of pasta sauce, or you can do some buttered pasta. There are plenty of options that are cheaper than cereal. Even cereal itself for breakfast, there's cheaper options. A banana works. And it's probably a lot more healthy, if I'm being completely honest. And I will bounce off something he said in a statement that he said. He said that cereal is the destination. I don't think cereal is the destination as a breakfast show named after cereal. I think it's about the journey. And we're going to journey into our next song. And it's a pretty good one, actually. It is Turn Back to What You Love by Dude Low. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin. Ooh, 1 second. We're having a bit of an episode on our end. We're going to play another song instead. We have Polarize by Camberwell. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin. Peaches and Wine by Tusha. And before that was Camberwell by Polarize. Now, that song is part of our Sweet 16. You can check that out every single week at sin.org.au. Or, of course, you can check it out on the Sunday Sweets Show every Sunday at 5 p.m. Check it out. It starts next week. It is very, very good. And they're going to play some of the best songs you've ever heard. And, you know, if you don't agree with me, let us know on our Instagram. Get Cereal Sin. Let us know your favourite Aussie musicians that are maybe a little bit underground and not, I guess, as loved and heard about. But we're going to talk about something that was filled with, I actually think it's filled with a lot of love, actually. So we're going to get into an Am I the Bad Guy conversation. And I've got one ready for you, Annabelle. And pretty simply, I'm going to read the title. And I'm just going to let you kind of, I guess, ruminate on how you feel about it.
Okay, so I'm going into this blind, so let's see.
Am I the bad guy for telling my son's girlfriend to break up with him?
Okay, can I give you my immediate thoughts?
Yep.
Okay, if I'm going to guess, girl's girl. I reckon, boo, I don't like the son already. I think if you are telling your son's girlfriend to break up with him, your son has to do something pretty bad. So I'm going to say, hot take, for not knowing any context, watch the son's girlfriend be a murderer or something, I don't know. But hot take, you're great. You're good. You're a girl's girl. Women support women. And you're doing her a favor.
But interesting.
Going blind. You know, we're going to come into it and the son's going to, like, rescue people in war-torn zones and be the best person in the world. So I'll probably have to walk back everything I've just said. We'll find out.
Well, let's see. So this is written by a mother, so female 41, and her son, who is male and 20, has been in a relationship with his girlfriend, we're going to call Lily in this, who is also 20, for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. This is written from her perspective, by the way, guys.
The mum's perspective.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love my son, and I hate to say this, but he has not turned out to be a good person. He has very little work ethic and no desire to get a job or go to college, and spends most of his time gaming or partying. Lily, on the other hand, is the polar opposite. She's very studious, has aspirations to be a doctor, is a very good swimmer, and is currently away at college.
I think I'm a very good swimmer. That's just something you should know.
Yeah, one of those things in there.
Only good swimmers are good people, just so you know.
Michael Phelps? Wonderful person. I don't know about that. When my son and Lily first got together in high school, they were an excellent match. We loved having Lily over, and my son definitely took more care of himself. Since then, it's rapidly deteriorated. I know my son still loves Lily, but he never gives her the attention she deserves, and with her clear potential, I just feel like she deserves better. When Lily came to visit a few days ago, she was visibly upset. When my son went to the store, I asked her if she was okay, and she told me that she didn't know what to do and wondered why my son had such little ambition and was so lazy. I told her I didn't see it changing anytime soon, as that's my view, and that's what I've been going on. That's what's been going on for almost 2 years. When she asked about what I would do in her situation, I told her to put herself first, and what she wanted mattered most. Lily thanked me and said she'd think about things. Well, earlier today, my son comes downstairs in a rage, telling me that Lily had broken up with him via text. I asked him what she said, and apparently the message referred to, and I quote, discussions with your mum that had made her rethink the relationship. My son was livid that I'd gotten involved and said that I'd overstepped boundaries. I told him that I didn't advise Lily to leave him, just said that she should make her own choices and decide what was best for her. My son is no longer talking to me, and my husband is annoyed, believing that having no Lily will make my son's rut last even longer. I also miss having Lily around. So, am I the bad guy?
I have some thoughts. I'm going to answer the question at the end. Okay, these are just kind of in no particular order. I find it interesting that the mum says that her son has turned out to not be a good person because he's, like, not ambitious and, in her words, like, lazy. Obviously, those aren't, like, great character traits, but they don't make you a bad person, right? Those are just... I wouldn't say that someone who's lazy is a bad person. I would just say...
No, totally.
Yeah. So I find that's a very big step to jump to. So either I feel like the mum is kind of leaving out other stuff.
There might be things we're missing,
though, as well. Or I think that, you know, look, we're all members of a capitalist society in which we are made to feel that if we're not being productive, quote-unquote productive, we are not useful. And anyway, that's just an aside.
No,
I think it's interesting that she views being lazy as being bad, like inherently bad and not just like a character trait. But anyway.
It is worth mentioning that it is at the moment a three-year rut, which, if nothing else, is usually a sign of poor mental health.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say as well. I mean, obviously, sometimes people just aren't ambitious, which, by the way, is fine. You can have other things. I think as long as you have some... You don't have to be ambitious professionally. Maybe you're... I think you should have a goal in life, but it doesn't have to be professional. We have a lot of pressure, I think, to feel like our careers are the most important thing. There are other things in life, remember that. But I think, A, it could be worth talking to the son, seeing what's going on. There could be underlying mental health reasons. There could be something he needs support on. That's just one thing. She didn't tell Lily to break up with the son.
No.
She told Lily to think about herself, which is good advice. I would say that if Lily had one conversation where someone said, hey, you know, put yourself first, which especially, you should always look after yourself, but also they're young, 20 years young, and that caused Lily to break up, they were going to break up anyway. It's not like Lily... That shows that Lily was already thinking about it. Lily was almost there. Also, Lily breaking up with him via text, interesting. I have a bad move. After 3 years, don't break up with someone via text. Although, maybe she was afraid to tell him in person, which could signify something
rage,
else.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think the mum did nothing wrong. I think maybe she could... Going off the context we have, she could extend a bit more grace towards her son, because if he's just struggling a little bit and she's literally calling him a bad person, that might not help him actually.
No, not at all.
Prosper, maybe he needs a bit more support. But she's not a bad person for telling Lily to look after herself. It's a good trait. She obviously loves Lily. I think Lily, you know, looking after herself. I think no one's a bad person in this case. I can understand if you're the son, you'd feel a bit hurt.
I might jump in, actually. I think that there is one character at the end who maybe not a bad person,
for Dad.
But has a very, very toxic outlook in expecting Lily to, you know, make the son's rut end and be that emotional, I guess, linchpin in the son. That's not on Lily.
That is a very good point. You're right. I think also, not to delve into a big societal issue, but that's so commonly expected in, I would say, like heterosexual relationships, that the woman does a kind of emotional labor and helps pull the man up.
No, yeah.
Women are not your emotional support animals. You can, like, obviously it's good to balance on each other and you can look for love and support in a relationship. But yeah, it's not one person's job to, quote unquote, fix the other person.
No, each person in a relationship, so person A, person A should care about person A the most, person B should care about person B the most. They can obviously care about each other and expect it to, but your mental health comes first. If you're not in a position where you believe you're getting what you want from a relationship, or you don't feel like you can give everything you can or everything you should in the relationship, maybe it's not time for a relationship. Focusing on yourself isn't a bad thing.
I think if you also you focus on yourself, I don't know if you should care about yourself the most. I think you should always, you should look after yourself and you shouldn't put someone above your own needs. Like,
I should have worded that better. I meant more mental health wise. Yeah, you should care about yourself.
You don't
want to
put yourself at the detriment, like loving someone at your own detriment. I do think as well that if you are in a place where you, I've lost my thought, but essentially you are the best person in the relationship when you're looking after yourself as well. And I agree with Bianca, maybe wait until you're in a stage where you're ready. And also, I mean, for all the dad knows, not that it's Lily's job, but for all the dad knows, this is kind of the wake-up sign that the son will need. And yeah, it's not Lily's job
to
put him out.
Sometimes things like this will help the son, you know, go get help, go do things he needs to. But if you need help or if someone you may know needs help, please do feel free to reach out to Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636, Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800, or the QLife Helpline at 1800 184 527. And if you want more advice with relationships and all things sex and relationships, tune in to the Naughty Rude Show every, I believe, Sunday night. At 8 p.m. even. And they can give you a bit more advice than I think we're qualified to give. So definitely check that out. We're going to dive into our next song, and it's Turn Back to What You Love by Dude Low. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard two incredible songs. They were Just Say It by approachable members of your local community, a name that rolls right off the tongue. And before that was the ever so wonderful song Turn Back to What You Love by Dude Low. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. My name is Bianca, and we are also joined by Annabelle, but Annabelle has stepped out for a minute to go retrieve a special guest. So definitely keep an eye on that one and stick around for that. We're going to let you know just a little bit more about what we're talking about later. So we do have an interview. We do have an in-studio acoustic performance. So that's very, very exciting. And we are going to discuss some books with Annabelle a little bit later. She's going to give you some, you know, just a bit of suggestions for you, so definitely stick around for that one if you're a bit of a bookworm. But if you want to keep up to date with anything Get Serial, you can do so at Get Serial Sin on Instagram. You can also do so at Get Serial Sin on our podcast platforms. Those are Spotify, Omni FM, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. You can also check us out on TikTok at Get Serial Sin. Really easy to find. Just search Get Serial Sin on your favorite platform, and we're probably there. But occasionally things do get hard, and we have talked about some things that have been heavy and mental health related. So if you or anyone you know feels like they may need someone to talk to, please feel free to reach out to any of these helplines. Firstly, we have Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636, Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800, and QLife Helpline at 1800 184 527. Check them out if you need them. There's never any sort of, stigma to checking them out. It's a good resource if you do need it. But with that, we're going to move into our next song, and it's one from our wonderful Sweet 16 playlist, which you can check out every single week at sin.org.au. You can also check out on the Sunday Sweets show every 5 p.m. on Sunday. Check it out. It is wonderful. They are starting next week, and I am so excited for them. Give them our love, and you know, say hello. Here is Hello by Girl and Girl. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. You just heard a wonderful collection of music. That was If You Had Any Friends by Mercy Mercy. Wonderful artist. Love them over here. Before that, you heard Go So Far for a Woman by Busty in the Bass, Ila J, and John Connor. And before that, you also heard two other songs. They were Long Distance Runner by Winterbourne and Hello by Girl Girl. Wonderful collection of songs. But Annabelle, we are not alone in the studio right now. We have a special guest sitting right at our fourth mic, and I'm quite excited to get to know them.
As Girl and Girl would say, hello to our next guest. I'm very excited to be welcoming them in. So they are Melbourne-based but Tasmanian-born. They make dreamy shoegaze music that'll transport you into another dimension. He's here to talk about his new album, Dream Animal, that's being released today. Please welcome Satan Hill to the studio.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you in. And, you know, we're going to bounce straight into it with the same question. We ask everyone this, so we're Get Serial, you know, breakfast show. Mm-hmm. We have to know, what is your dream or ideal breakfast?
Dream breakfast.
The stakes are high with this one.
It's got to be when I was in the US, going out for pancakes at a diner. Or you can eat, drink coffee, bacon, and maple syrup.
That's a pretty solid
breakfast.
That sounds
very good. Yeah. I'm picturing a very American, like stereotypical diner in my head.
Yep, absolutely.
That sounds great. That's going to be my dream breakfast. I might steal that one.
Sounds good.
We are here to talk about your album, Dream Animal. So we have a few rapid-fire dream questions for you. You've had
Sounds good. Dream breakfast.
Who is your dream collaboration? Who would you love to release a song with?
Yeah, I got asked this the other day, and Elizabeth Fraser from the Cocteau Twins, an amazing, all sort of dream pop band from the 80s. She's got an incredible voice. That'd be my... That's never going to happen, right? But that'd be
well,
amazing.
That's the fun part of a dream.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, if you're listening, you know, hit Tom up. There you go. That's right.
Yeah, if this is broadcast in Scotland, then she might
We do get some international listeners, but we'll bounce off that a little bit. Let's say you've gone on a big tour.
Yep.
You're, let's say, playing the MCG, right?
Okay.
Who is your dream opening act? Who would you love to open for you?
Yeah, okay. If someone's opening for me... there's this band called Dive, D-I-I-V. I think they would be really cool. They're very mellow. Well, they're sort of shoegazy as well. Very cool group of people.
We'll definitely have to look into them.
Yeah.
But, Annabelle, our next couple of questions are more about you, Tom.
Sure.
And simple question. You've been making music since 2009. With your debut EP, I Am a Monster, when that came out, How do you feel, I guess, the music industry has evolved and you have evolved as an artist since all the way back in 2009, especially within
Melbourne? Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. I think with the music in Melbourne, the venues to play have changed a lot. Some have disappeared, as we know. There's always new ones popping up, but yeah, I think where to play is a bit of a challenge sometimes. Overall, I think there are more bands. It's easier to get to do recordings now, so more people are making music and playing, which is really awesome. As a musician myself, I think I've just added more layers. That first EP was just acoustic guitar, and the new one's got everything, bells and whistles. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, it's great. I will say, I was listening to your EP the other day. It stands the test of time. It's still a lovely song. I love it. I love all your music, which you'll definitely be talking about. But I wanted to talk briefly about your stage name. You go by Saint Hill. You have a very cool relative.
Yes.
This name is kind of a homage to you, I'd say. Can you tell us about that connection?
Yeah. So his name was Loudon Saint Hill. Loudon's such a great name. He was an Australian costume designer in the sort of mid-1900s. And, yeah, you can look him up online and look up. He did a lot for stage, lots of weird and wacky things for Shakespearean productions. Yeah, so I sort of thought, there's another creative person from my family. And it's also my mother's maiden name because he's, you know, a relative.
Yeah. No, totally.
I did see actually with your debut, if you go back in time a bit, you actually made all the masks, I believe, for the photo. So obviously stage design and costume design kind of runs in the family.
Yes.
That's a great little link back to him. That's amazing.
That's true. I never thought of that.
Definitely. And you know what? I'll ask a quick one before we go into our live performance, which we're all very excited for. Now, obviously the album is called Dream Animal. Mm. We have to know, what is your favourite animal, or I guess your spirit animal, if you were to choose one?
Yeah, I really like cats. Like if I'm walking around and I see a cat, I'll have to try and interact with it. But I think my spirit animal is an otter.
Ooh.
They seem to be having a great time. They're just hanging out there, floating on their back in the water.
No, totally. I love that answer. I'm very happy with that one. But we are going to move into our performance.
Sure.
Can you introduce the song you're playing and I guess how it feels playing it acoustic in particular?
Yeah, sure. I'll play one called The Black Bull, which is off the new album. Acoustically, they were written on acoustic. I made sure that all the songs could be songs just played on a piano or a guitar, so I think it feels fine playing it. Yeah,
definitely. Well, with that, we're going to dive into that. Just quickly turn down the mic while you grab the guitar. But no, very excited to hear this one. You are listening to the wonderful Saint Hill with a live performance of Black Bull. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Thank you. Stealing through the moonlit house as shadow looms in fall. And I'm walking in the night to the side of the black bull. Forget to take a breath or two, but look it in the eye. Greet it with a sigh. In the morning, pack my bags bound for southern Spain. Had to chase the daylight, I had to lose the pain. I stayed awake throughout the nights and withered in the sun. And softly, I begun. Oh, sword or two, I had to be a threat. That night a bellow rattled me from a deep and peaceful sleep. But boy, I did not weep. Oh, sees me when I
was beautiful. Thank you so, so much for playing that live.
No worries. Thank you.
We're going to dive back into, I guess, the second half of this interview. And this one, we're going to talk a little bit more about specifically the album upcoming. And I guess, Annabelle, did you want to dive into that?
Definitely. Sure. I will say that people who have tuned in to Get Serial will have heard The Black Ball before. We played it when it first came out. It's very nice to have an acoustic performance, very special.
Definitely.
And I wanted to kind of talk about that song first, because it is the single that kind of forefronted the album.
Sure.
Can you talk about the inspiration behind The Black Ball specifically?
Yeah, sure. I guess it's a metaphor for struggles, depression, overcoming, making peace with things. The Black Ball is sort of representing all that. So the character in the story does that by going to Spain and training to be a matador. A bit strange. It all comes from a dream I had, so that's why it's a bit weird, I guess. I made a film clip for it too, and had a lot of fun with two versions of myself, a little bit of camera trickery, and I got my mate, also named Tom, in a ridiculous helmet with horns, and he's chasing me. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It is a great video, I will say. I saw that you directed and you edited it. So you...
Yeah, I kind of end up doing it. Just, I think I've just gone cheap. I don't want to pay people to do stuff.
I think it's being a triple threat. I think you're underselling yourself.
Yeah.
No, it's a great music video. I will say, I like the end. I think the end is very sweet.
And they make peace at the end.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good way to kind of round it off. And talking about how you kind of got the idea from a dream.
Mm.
Dream Animal, that's inspired by your dream journals, am I correct?
That is true. I always keep them, I always have, and then I was like, damn, there's a lot of animals showing up.
Yeah.
What's going on there? So I started looking into dream symbology? I don't know if that's a word.
It is now, symbology.
Yeah. Around animals, whether or not that, I mean, that's, I don't know if anyone actually knows what things mean, but I looked into it and then sort of used those as the basis for the lyrics.
Totally. And you know what? I'll just jump in for a sec. So you've said that your album was 5 years in the making with your tracks for the drums starting before the pandemic even began. Can you walk us through the process of creating an album, especially like that, and having it, I guess, evolve over time?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was a long time ago. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, a slow mover, you know, obsessing over small details that no one will probably notice. So that's why it took a long time. In the middle of the pandemic, I ended up recording another little EP just to sort of keep stuff doing it, because I wanted to release this album not in the middle of the pandemic. So I kind of like put it on ice for a little while, and then now it's time. Yeah.
I'll bounce off that a little bit. How was it, I guess, recording and getting everything done in the pandemic? Did that change how you went about songwriting and, I guess, creation?
Yeah, well, I record at home, so it was actually good to be at home a lot more. And having my little studio there. The main thing is just when you record at home, it's a bit noisy. There's birds and neighbours and stuff, so you got to work around that. So in a way, it was good for that. But I think, like a lot of people, the pandemic sapped a lot of energy and motivation as well.
No, totally.
Yeah,
it'd be an interesting time to create. Mm. Look, I know you're not meant to have a favourite child, but is there any one song on the album you feel, I won't say favourite, but you feel an affinity for?
Yeah, there's this song Before the Dawn, which is the third song. I don't know, it came late in the piece, and it was like, I've heard other songwriters talk about when a song just sort of appears and you don't have to do much work and it's just there.
Just pops up.
And it just popped up, and I sort of, it was a late inclusion. And it's sort of based around, more around dreams and how sometimes you don't want to, if you wake up, like that really great thing you were doing, that's over now. So, you know.
No, totally.
Yeah.
And I think we'll start to move towards the end here. So I do want to just mention, obviously the album came out today, or is coming out today even.
Yeah, it's out. Yep.
It's your fourth album. How do you feel about it? And which Which emotion do you think people are going to feel in particular or strongest when listening to the album in full?
Nice question. Yeah. So it is, it's out and about today. I think what's the emotion I want people will feel? I think like we need another new word, I think. not bittersweet, but sort of like an uplifting melancholia, if that's possible.
I think it's very apt. When I was, I was thinking of what word I kind of get the vibe of, and I was thinking like a kind of melancholy feeling in a nice way.
Yeah, like sometimes that's a good thing, just to kind of be like, the world is big and weird and rich and beautiful, and
which is a small speck in it, but that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, totally. And you do have an album launch on the 14th of April at the Gasso. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, that'll be the Gasso upstairs. There's a nice little room there. It'll be a Sunday, so nice and chill, sort of earlier in the evening. And I'm still locking in the support, but I'll have some good people playing with me. And I'll get people on stage, so it won't just be me solo. There'll be a band as well.
No, totally.
It'll be very exciting. I believe tickets are also available now.
Yeah, I think, if you go on the Gasso website, you can find them.
Definitely.
Definitely have a gander at that. But if anyone wants to follow you or keep up to date with what you're doing, where can they find both the new album and more about yourself?
Sure. Instagram's probably the main place I live, SainthHill_music. I mean, you can look on Spotify. Spotify is, some people aren't that big on it. They don't pay people. So if you really want to support, you can go to Bandcamp. The album's on there. You can listen, you can buy a copy, that sort of stuff.
Definitely. Well, we'll be promoting. So if you do want to have a look, you can check it out on our Instagram as well. But otherwise, thank you so, so much for jumping on.
It's been
great having you in. And I guess one last question before we go. Do we know what the next project might be? I know it's really early to ask.
Yeah, we do. I've already started writing more songs. It'll be more acoustic and laid back and lots of synths and stuff.
Ooh.
No drums.
No drums.
That's exciting. But with that, we're going to dive into our next song. Again, thank you so, so much for joining us today. Our next song is Can You Feel the Sunshine? By the 8-Bit Big Band. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. That was Can You Feel the Sunshine by the 8-Bit Big Band. But don't go anywhere because we have another wonderful live performance by SainthHill. Do you want to introduce this song real quick?
Sure, thank you. I'm going to bring you back down a little bit mood-wise. This one's called For the Bees, and it's about looking after the planet. Thank you. I found a worker on my sill. She was clinging to her will. I fed her sugar water. A friend was outside, worried sick. Time is running out for the bees. Time is running out for the up the chord there, but that's okay. We'll keep going. But she was gone the next day. I hope she made it out okay. I let one land upon my arm, and then it flew off down the farm. Time is running out Thank you.
Once again, that was gorgeous.
A beautiful song. Very important message as well, I will say. It's
yeah,
a very good
if
message.
The bees are like the signal that things are going well or not well with the environment. So
no, totally. Without them, it kind of all just falls apart.
Yeah.
Definitely. Look after the bees and don't forget to check out Dream Animal, which is out today.
Thank you.
By St. Hill. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks
thank
for having
you
me.
Thank so much.
Yeah,
thank you so much. With that, we're going to dive quickly back into one more song before the end of today. That one is Jessica Day by The Vovos. You're listening.
I will say, The Vovos, we talked to them last week. Their album is also out today.
Oh, cool.
It's a big day for great musicians, so go check them out after you've listened to St. Hills.
Definitely. Here is Jessica Day by The Vovos.
Welcome back, everyone. You just heard Jessica Day by The Vovos, another great song by a Melbourne-based punk witch band. I will say we had them in last week. It's lovely to get to talk to them. Their newest album, Lila Gubbin, is out now. And unfortunately, it is that time where we have to say goodbye. It has been so much fun getting to have you all starting your Friday, shall we say, together and getting to speak with St. Hill about his latest album, Dream Animal, that is out today. Go check it out on Bandcamp, support your local artists. And if you want to see what we're doing, you can head to Get Serial Sin on Instagram or find us on Get Serial Sin on TikTok, where we do post every so often. It has been so lovely to kind of finish up the week together, close it all off. Go follow us on social media for more behind the scenes of our amazing interview with St. Hill today, and we will see you next week. Have a great day.